So glad that we could have these meetings here. Amen.
Amen.
And we are trusted, we are trusting. We are not in McKinney West now, but we are seated in heavenly places with Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And I am so happy to see Brother Kosten Mulea.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Mulea, just come forward and greet the saints here. Amen.
Amen.
So he's not from Zimbabwe, he's right from here. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Sure.
Shalom, shalom.
Amen.
I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm happy to be here.
Amen.
It is not the first time to meet him. In 2019, we met in Zimbabwe. And through social media, I've been interacting, seeing what he's doing. Amen.
Amen.
So when he posted, it should be yesterday. When I laid it, then I said, I must be here.
Amen.
Amen. As he said, I'm Brother Mulea. I'm pastor in Lilanda End Time Message Fellowship. And I did not come alone. I came with my precious brother. Just stand up, my brother. His brother Godfrey, he's our song leader that side.
Amen.
We are supposed to come four of us, but two of them gave an excuse. Nevertheless, I'm happy to be in the midst. God bless you.
Would love to hear the singing from Lilanda, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, perhaps towards the end of the service, but thank you so much, Pastor, for making efforts to be part of these meetings. Amen.
Amen.
And we have one, people call him Brother Martin. You know, the first time we met was in Zimbabwe. I think there was a convention that was in Concession. So when introducing himself, he says, people call me Martin. So that just made me laugh. But he is Pastor Martin Wanjala. He is from Kenya. Yeah, Pastor, just kindly stand up. And
hey.
Yeah, that is Pastor Martin. You can just come and greet the church, sir. Whenever I stand next to Brother Martin, he really dwarfs my height.
God bless you. Okay. Amen, amen.
Amen.
I'm very happy to be here.
Amen.
This is my second time to come to
yes.
Lusaka.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember very well the first time we came with Pastor Ferem.
Yes.
When you were there in Mutendere, Yes, Mutendere. Mm-hmm. And we ministered with Pastor Tim McKay.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the first time I came here. And from there, we proceeded up to Choma.
Amen.
So this is now my second time to Lusaka.
Amen.
And the second time we met with Pastor Piri was in the concession. That was the second time.
Oh, okay.
But this is now the third time.
Amen.
So when I was coming from Kenya, my plan was to go to concession, Harare, Chitungwiza, and then back to Kenya. And that was my plan. But when I reached Chitungwiza, Sekul Ferem ambushed me and said, okay, we shall be going to cater to Lusaka.
Amen.
So I had no option. I had to abide with the above law. So I found myself here.
Amen.
Even when we were there with the question, he was asking me if I could have time to come to Lusaka. I told him no. I only came to Zimbabwe, and from Zimbabwe, I'm going back home.
Amen.
So, I did not come with direct greetings to Lusaka, but my greetings were to Zimbabwe. But now there is no other option. I greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. I really appreciate it a lot for giving you a pastor who has a large heart to accommodate us all.
Amen.
He's a pastor who is pastoring a very big church on daily devotion. So he's pastoring many people from Singapore, Philippines, America, Kenya, Uganda, Zimbabwe, Lusaka, Nigeria, and many other places. Pastor, God bless you so much.
Amen.
For the wonderful ministry, and also the church, God bless you much.
Amen.
For supporting the pastor.
Amen.
I'm still here. We shall talk more. Amen. My name is Martin Wanjala Wanyama.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Pastor Wanjala. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord that his ways are not our ways, and we also never anticipated these meetings, but I was so happy when Pastor Verem said we are coming over. But Pastor Verem will still be back here in 2 weeks' time, not here, but in Rufunsa.
Amen.
And I received very positive news coming from there. That was 2 days ago, because Brother Lackson is already on the ground there, and they're distributing this invitation, flyers. And he says, well, people are so hungry, and they're really preparing themselves for the meetings. So my prayer is, I would have really loved if really this thing had worked out in such a way that Brother Wanyama also could have been there. But, we are praying the Lord gives us a wonderful time of fellowship. And towards that, I wouldn't want just maybe a few people to go there. Those who can, let us be found during those meetings, because from the time we had the crusade, I think this will be the second big meeting we'll be having, where we are inviting all the people in the villages. And Brother Lackson says, well, people are very eager to come, and we are praying we can have more baptisms. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so we are so thankful to the Lord. Shall we just stand as we get into the Word of God? Yeah. So this morning, this evening, Pastor Verem is ministering to us. Then tomorrow morning, we have Pastor Wanjala. Then we shall also have an afternoon service where Pastor Verem will conclude it for us. And we are so thankful that through the daily devotion, we are able to hear different ministers. I believe you've heard Pastor Wanjala preach on daily devotion. You've heard different ministers, but nothing can beat physical fellowship, where we have the men of God right here for us to enjoy the sweetness of the fellowship. Amen. And whenever God's children gather, there's a purpose why God has brought us together. So let our hearts be open, our ears be alert to see what God has prepared for you this afternoon. Amen. Praise the Lord. So shall we just pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity that we have. we have the breath of life in us, and you've given us this health, which has enabled us, Lord, to be here this afternoon. And we bring all this wonderful gift of life you've given us, Lord. We present it to you as a living sacrifice. That Heavenly Father, as we sit at your table, may you fill the empty cups of our hearts with your good things. That at the end of this service, Lord, may we all be filled, may we all be touched. Oh Lord, we pray, anoint your servant as he comes forth to give us your word. We are so thankful, Lord, for everything. Blessed be your wonderful holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Okay, I invite Pastor to just come and give us the word this afternoon. God bless you.
We may take our seats. We're happy to be in the house of the Lord, and I want to greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I also bring you greetings from our church back home in the name of the Lord. Amen. We are happy to be here this afternoon. My purpose of coming here was to bring my brother Martin Wanjara, that he may minister here. So I'll just maybe say a few words this afternoon. And tomorrow we'll be hearing the preaching from our brother Wanjara. Amen. I'm also happy to meet brother Mlea. I think we first met.
Sorry, I have to interrupt the pastor. I forgot to introduce my brother. Please, will you stand up? Sorry, brother Tindrika. You know, that is brother Tindrika from Zimbabwe. He came with Pastor Veremo. And you know what usually happens is whenever I would visit Zimbabwe, it means he will be out. So I remember his wife one day telling me, he says, what is this thing between you and Brother Tindrika? Whenever you come, it means he is out of Zimbabwe and all that. But I'm so glad the brother is here with us.
Amen.
Brother Tindrika, God bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. As I was saying, I first met Brother Mlea, that was in Mumbwa.
Yes,
yeah. By then he was a very young man, but very eager to serve the Lord. Now he told me now he's married, two children.
Yeah.
Then, you know, when you are growing up, when you are very small, you know, you like to grow old. You always be saying, when I grow old, when I grow old. So as you are growing, you come again to a stage where you don't want to grow old now. You want to grow younger. But when you look and see, like I was saying with Brother Mlea, I saw him when he was very young. Now when I see him that he's aged now, that tells me that I'm aged. So, whatever my feelings, yeah, I want to grow younger, but reality shows me that I'm getting somewhere. So, I'm happy to be back home.
Amen.
Amen. To be together again this day. Praise the Lord. Now, as I said, we will hear from our precious brother, Brother Wanjara, tomorrow as we serve the Lord. As for this afternoon, we just want to encourage one another as we pursue this road unto our glory. That will be when we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ eternally. So if we can maybe stand and we offer a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again for this time you have given us. Lord, the Spirit of old said it was good we were here. Father, we pray for your presence. We pray, Father God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you may speak to our hearts, that, Lord, you may encourage us, Father, that, Lord, you may give to us that which will make us be able to stand, even as we see the day dawning when we will be eternally with you in glory. We thank you, Father. May you prepare us even for that day by your word and your presence, your anointing and your inspiration. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus, as you open the word to read, yes, physically we can open and read, but Father God, it takes you to open the words to us by your Spirit, that we may feed upon that which is eternal, which is your word. We commit this, Lord, into your hands, even for your own glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just read as we are standing from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews. We will read from verse 9 up to verse 10. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. May the Lord God bless the reading of his word. We may be seated. Now, from the portion of scripture we have read, and as you will be turning always to our Bible, we just want to encourage one another on our calling, as we were called to serve God. God called us to show forth who he is. Because we are told in the scripture that the things that we see are made from things that are not seen. So, God created the universe from those who have gone through science. You know, you know the greatness of the universe. This great expanse which is up there, you know, we cannot even fathom that greatness. We cannot even count or see what God has done in the great universe. But God, when he wanted to reveal or show who he is, he created man, and in the way of worship, man brings forth and shows who God really is. So, our being made in the image of God was for the purpose that God can show forth or can display who he is. And when we worship God, it is through that we display the character and the person of God. For we are called to worship God. And God reveals himself through us. Whatever happens in our life, it is not in vain. Or is it, as we may say, an accident? But God saw programmed our life that we may show forth His glory. So we cannot worship God outside His characteristics. We cannot worship God outside of who He is. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit, which is His very Spirit in us, that we may worship Him to the full and express who He is. So, as we worship God, we are expressing who He is in whatever we may go through or whatever may come our way. It is for the purpose of expressing God. And one of the things that God is and wants to express through us is what we may look at as pain or as hardship. But if we go back to the beginning, it says, all those who are going to overcome at the end, they don't overcome because of their gene, they are intelligent, but they overcome because their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So you see, before everything that we think is so glorious and is so magnificent that we see that God created, before all those things were brought into being, before that beginning, the Lamb of God in the mind of God was slain. So when we think of a lamb being slain, that is not pleasure, but it's pain. So you see, there in the beginning, when God was thinking of your victory, was planning of your excellency, it was not done in pleasure. It was not done, you know, in a smooth way, but it was done by the slaying of the lamb, and it's associated with pain. Amen. So when now we come to worship God, though we may go through all these difficult things, but Paul here is saying, God is not unmindful of those things that you are going through, the things that you are doing. Can you see? And also, we should not be slothful in doing that is good. And we are given now the pattern. It says, as it was with those who inherited the promises. And how did they inherit the promises? They did it through patience and faith. You see? So, it was not just receiving the promises, but it was with that patience. Patience, you know, includes forbearing. Patience includes, you know, standing their stability in the Word of God. Now, because it is an expression of God, but you know, when we think of pain, we go back to the beginning in Genesis, where it says, a man shall have to sweat to feed himself. And then the woman has got to go through pain to bring forth life. When we go there, we just look at it as it was a punishment for sin or for wrongdoing. But though it is a punishment, or I'll say it is because man had sinned, but there is something that is godly in that. Because before there was sin, the lamb was slain. So we cannot separate ourselves from our very beginning. But God had to bring it in that way so that we partake of His feelings or His being that He was even before sin was there. So there's no way where we can get to it unless God had to permit this wrongdoing to come.
Yes, sir.
So we can even see Moses had to represent Christ. He was a full representation of Christ. Moses brought the people out of Egypt from bondage. But if you can go back to the commission of Moses, Moses was told, I have come down to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt and to that land I promised Abraham. Then God says, now I'm sending you to bring them out. He never said for you to bring them out and bring them in. He said for you to bring them out. But he himself was going to bring them out and bring them in to the promised land. That means Moses could not bring them to the promised land. Then how could that be? Because everybody who had faith, and you all know that Moses, even before the deliverance, Moses by faith forsook the house of Pharaoh. He forsook his right to the throne by denying to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. By then he had faith. And the Bible tells us that by faith he went to his brethren thinking they would understand. But they failed to understand. So you can see Moses, way back then, he had faith to go to the promised land.
Amen.
But according to God, he could not take the people in. So what would cause him not to go in if he had faith to go in? Then you see, when God told him, now you go and speak to the rock, Moses strikes the rock. And then God says, because of this, you will not enter in. Then he pleaded with God until God told him, don't you ever come before me with that plea again. You are not going in. Because if Moses had gone in, it would have broken, you know, the pattern. Jesus Christ, when he came, he could not come to deliver us and then usher us into the land of promise. It had to be the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Can you see? So the Holy Spirit is our Joshua.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So how could Jesus not do it? Because he committed no sin. Moses hit the rock. So that means he did something wrong. But how could Christ not take us in when he was sinless? On Calvary, he had to take our sin. And he had to be struck until he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? It was because sin had come on him. So because of that, now the pattern is complete. Can you see? Now, what we want to look at this afternoon is the pain that we go through and the things that sort of affect our lives to sort of maybe bring what we would think is a curse upon us, or to bring upon us, a situation where we think maybe, we cannot do it. We cannot make it. Because to be frank, all of you who have come to the Lord, maybe you have been 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years in the Lord. You just look down the line of your life, you'll find where you made mistakes. You'll find where you did things that are not right. So how can you now go on when you have messed up back then? Can you see? How can we make it? But it is so planned and patterned by God that that which we go through is pertaining to who he is and what he is. There is something that makes us be able to receive it. As the Bible tells us that chastisement is not sweet, but we receive it. Every child when chastised by the father or mother is not good. But there is something in that child that accepts that chastisement. When life is to be brought forth, every mother knows the feeling that she goes through from the time of conception. And you know, when these young mothers are talking about the problem they are going through, the morning nausea, the vomiting, and all that, you know, when a young mother-to-be is telling this elderly mother the problem she's going through, you know, I can't eat this now, I can't feel nice here. The old mother says, oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Ah, let's try to find the medicine for you. She'll be even happy. You are feeling that? Oh. Why is she happy when this is a pain? They know out of there is coming life. Can you see? So there is this pain that goes with us. That, like here the scripture says, there are greater things that accompany salvation. So there is that pain that comes with the glory. Can you see? Now, so those of old, they went through all these things, and we also must go through those things. To the extent that even our mistakes, and when we maybe step out of line, it won't be for our condemnation or for our destruction, but it will so much that it can bring us even closer to God. Can you see? You know, it's like when you make that mistake, you know, it will make you now, maybe even fasted for the past 6 months. But when you make that mistake, you try to, you know, to mend your way by, you know, maybe committing yourself to God, committing your life to God, even more than when you were right. Can you see? I'm not trying to promote you, promote wrongdoing, you know, but let's face reality as it is, so that we can walk this way. Now, let's look at those of old. In the same book of Hebrews, let's go to the Hall of Faith, which is chapter 11. And we'll read from verse 32. And what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David, also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, vexed violent in fight, turned to flight armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others yet trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were shorn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Now, when we go to the Hall of Faith, we see people who overcame lions, who quenched fires, who overcame armies of aliens, who made the enemy to run away. These were great men of faith. But among those great men of faith, we also have great men who were tortured, who were whipped, who wandered about in sheepskins, who were sown asunder. We have some who overcame the enemy, and we have some who were killed by the enemy. But all these are great men of faith, great men of faith and great women of faith. So we can see here that these people, they lived a life worthy of their calling. Whatever they went through was complementary to the purpose and the mind of God upon their lives. There was something that was purposed by God on David that could only be achieved when David could stand there and overcome the enemy. Can you see? But we take it on the other hand, Isaiah, you look at Joseph, you look at Abel, you know, he brought the first sacrifice to God and he was slain on the altar of his sacrifice. Yet without that, it could not have perfected the intention of God upon his ministry. So, in sufferings, in great opposition, God makes you to be what you should be. As you pass through those things, they are molding you unto the perfection that God needs in you. Amen. So let's, as I said, we just want to look at this part where we go through pain and where we make maybe what we can call very disastrous mistakes. What will God and how will God deal with that mistake in your life? How will God see what you have done? What does it bring to you? Why did God let Moses make that mistake? Yet after making that mistake, God will come around and speak to him face to face. Why is it that God, did God not have a better way to bring or to continue the lineage of Judah than to have Judah take his own daughter-in-law and have a child who will be in the lineage of the kingdom of David? Did not God have a better way of doing it? Did not God have a better way of doing it than to let Bathsheba come into the life of David and then Solomon is born? Can you see? You know, God's ways are past finding. But one thing we know, we thank God for what he has done for us and how he has called us to be in this light. So let's look at these great men of faith and see how God dealt with them in real life. When we look at the book of Romans, chapter 9 of the book of Romans, verse 11. In verse 11 up to verse 14, we read, "For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there any unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy." Amen. Now, maybe we can go back to chapter 5 of the same book of Hebrews. I mean of Romans. In chapter 5, we read verse 6. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, the love of God was shown before, or I would say just way before the recipient was on the scene. Can you see? God loved Jacob before he was there. He loved you before this earth was there. Before heaven itself was created, he loved you. And he bestowed upon you all the glory that you are going to enjoy in eternity. That was way before you were there. So you see here that that love of God could not be perfected in you unless he had to redeem you from sin. Love did not protect you from getting into sin. Love did not protect you from being born a sinner. But love complemented, and love made it able, made you able to come to be holy before God. Can you see that? So how does God deal with you? How does God look at the things in your life? And how does God use everything that you are unto his glory? One thing, he used your sin. You know what you did. You know the wrongs that you went through. But he used that while you were yet a sinner. The love of God was commended. Not because you were good, but because you were bad. Because death was in you, it made life to be manifested in you. Can you see how God does it? So, before Jacob was born, God said, I love this guy. Before he had done good or bad, he says, you are going to be saved by your elder brother. He was given the birthright. He was given that which enables him to be the heir of the promise. Yet, when he was born, he was not born the firstborn. Although he tried, he fought to be born first, but it failed. Nature refused him that. Yet God loved him. Can you see? Now, today God is using you. You are worshiping God. When you come back, when you sit down, you know, I think it can come to you and say, if I had just lived right, how much more God would have used me? Amen. But I messed up my life.
Yes,
I did that. I did that. I walked that way. I walked it this way. Now, I'm a wretched man. But that is not it. When you were yet a sinner, God loved you.
Amen.
When you were without hope, God put before you the excellency of hope. Why did he have to do it that way? That is our God. He associated himself with pain way before the foundation of the world. Way before there was sin, the lamb was slain. There was pain in that. Yet it was for your own glory.
Amen.
Amen. So, there's nothing that can stand between you and God. There's nothing. There's nothing you ever did or will ever do that will eliminate you from the goodness of God. Am I encouraging you to go and do things that are wrong? God forbid. Because Paul says, when sin abounded, grace abounded even more. Can you see? So shall we sin so that grace may abound? He says, no. Can you see? Your makeup is such that you don't desire to do bad. Your makeup is so that you don't want to fall off. But I want to tell you, some of these things, they come in your life. Then how are you going to overcome? We overcome by the very way God manifested in the beginning, where he accepted pain to get you into glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now let's look at Jacob. He was, denied the birthright by nature. Naturally, he was not born the firstborn. He was denied that. But what did he do? How could God love him? How could God in heaven store up all the blessings that go with the birthright? Yet Jacob here, it doesn't have the birthright. How could it be? Let's hear what Jacob has to say in chapter 32 of the book of Genesis. In chapter 32, here is what Jacob is saying. Chapter 32 of the book of Genesis. Let's just read from verse 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant is come. Thy servant saith this, thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell you, my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We come to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff, I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." Now, he's saying here, this is the Jacob whom God loved, but denied him the birthright. Nature denied him the birthright. And we know how Jacob got the birthright. He got it from Esau. And now he's coming back to the father's land. And he knows Esau still has that grudge with him of how he took the birthright and also the blessings. Now he comes to God. He says, "I'm not worthy of all this that you are doing to me. All the mercies that you have shown unto me, I'm not worthy. I've been sojourning there, but you told me I should go back to my father's house. Now I'm going, there is Esau there coming. I tell him I'm coming, and he's now meeting me with 400 military men. That means Esau meant no good to Jacob. So here he comes. Amen. And how does he approach God? He does not approach God because of the good that he did.
Yes, sir.
He says, I'm not worthy of all this you've done unto me. I should not be a recipient of all these blessings that you have given me. But because of what God did to him, he does not run away from the fact that he was wrong in the first place. He does not boast himself because now he's a great man. But he uses his greatness. He had now men servants, women servants. He had money. He had flocks. He had everything, children, everything he had. But here he humiliates himself. I did not get this because I am good. I got all this because of your grace. If he was good, if he had done right, then it was to him the price of his goodness. Can you see? And he wouldn't have felt. Now, if you have money enough to buy a loaf of bread, you just have to walk to the shop and pay the price, and you are given the bread. That way you won't see much, you know. But if you don't have the money, that's when you can appreciate. Firstly, if God blesses you, you have the money to buy the bread. You know, you'll find that, you know, it's natural. I've got the money, I buy the bread. But if you don't have the money, and the same God who could have blessed you and given you the money gives you now the money, you are wondering, what am I going to do today? Lord, please help me. And then you look on the ground, you see 100 kwacha note. You say, thank you, Lord. You take that, you go and buy the bread. You appreciate it more than had God blessed you and you already have the money. Can you see? It is the same God who could have just given you the blessing and you have the money, and he has given you this other way. He's still God. Can you see? So whenever we come into situations, we have to look and find where God is in that situation. Not that it has just happened. Not just it has just come my way. Can you see? This is how we can appreciate and how we can live a godly life before God. Is by seeing and recognizing what God is doing. So here's Jacob. He says, I'm not even worthy of all these things. But according to the flesh, he can challenge Laban. For 20 years, I worked for you. For 14 years, I worked for these, your daughters. For 6 years, I worked for all that I have. That's what he could say to Laban. Can you see? But he knows how and why did God give him the opportunity to do that work. And it was not just his sweat, but it was God who blessed him. When Laban says, the spotted are yours, the spotted start to increase. When Laban says, no, the whites only are yours, the whites started to increase. So it was God in everything. Amen. So, our mistake, or whatever Jacob did, after all, for him to get the bread right, he had to force his brother into the corner. So he did not get it right. For him to get the blessing, he had to cover himself with all those skins and pretend to be Esau. Yes, he got the blessing. Yes, he got the birthright, but it was not in a clean manner.
Yes.
And because of that, he had to rely on God himself. Can you see? You are here, not just by coincidence.
Yes.
You are here because it is God. But what made you to come here? It may not have been a smooth road, but God is in it all. Amen. So, what Jacob did, which was wrong, and the mistakes that he did, which were not right before God, Jacob used that as a tool or as the means whereby he can come to God. He did not come to God because of his greatness. He came, he used his mistakes to enable him to come to God. And that makes God God. Because he is a savior. He has got to save a sinner. He is a deliverer. He has got to deliver somebody who is cornered. Can you see? So I don't use my inability to be my distraction, but I use my inability to rise up to God, because on the throne of God or before the altar of God, we have a priest who can be touched by our strength, by our ability, by our goodness. No, but by our weakness.
Yes.
That makes him the priest now. Without our weakness, he's no priest. Can you see? Without our failure, he's not the victor.
Yes, sir.
So we come to him. That's why, you know, whatever you did or whatever you went through, don't try to behave as if nothing happened. You know it happened.
Hallelujah.
Can you see? Yes. That's why Jesus Christ said, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God,
yes,
you must be like a little child.
Yes.
Can you see?
Yes.
We all know.
Yes.
You know, some of us, we started to cycle when we were big, you know.
Mm.
When we were already big boys.
Mm.
So when you're cycling, because you are starting to learn to cycle a bicycle, you fall. You don't want people to know you're falling. The first thing, you look around. Has anybody seen me? Even if I try to walk here and I fall down, the first thing that comes to my mind, has anybody seen me? And then I will appear as if, you know, I did not fall, but I was just, you know, making some tricks. But a child, when it falls, it will cry.
Yes.
You are inside the house. You don't know what is happening outside. But it just falls down. It will cry. Declaring, I am fallen. And then the mother will come.
Yes.
You have fallen. Why did you fall? Does she do that? She picks him up. Oh, Sally. Why? I told you not to play here. Why did you do it? Rubbing off the dust, you know. And then the boy feels more closer to mama. See? That's how God feels more closer to you when you become like a child. Don't hide that. Don't run away from that. That's the means whereby you can come to God. And then mama picks up the little boy, takes him into the house, give him a candy. If he had not cried, you wouldn't have given him a candy. But because he has cried out, then he can enjoy the blessing now. So this is how God deals with us. That's how, you know, in our inability, the ability of God is displayed. In our weakness, the strength of God is shown forth. Because here the scripture says, in weakness they subdued kingdoms. It was not in their strength, but it was in their weakness. When Goliath was challenging there, all the great generals trained to fight the enemy, they all ran away. But in the weakness of a little shepherd boy, the greatness of victory was displayed. And that is God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, I read somewhere, you know, when Israel was going to the promised land, God told them, you have been a stranger in a strange land. So when you get to that land, you must treat strangers with love. So God had to let Israel be in a strange land for 400 years. The message was for them to know how to treat other strangers. He did not give them a lecture. You know what? You know, you are, when you go there, you must treat people right. He let Israel go through that pain. So that would be a lesson to them, that when they get to the other side, they know how to treat somebody who is in pain. Amen. Because God had to bring that guilt and that sin upon the lamb so that he would feel the pain of sin. And then he would give his life to redeem a sinner when he's in sin.
Amen.
Amen. Now, our father Abraham, the great father of faith, when God called him from the land of Mesopotamia, he actually told him, you must separate yourself from your father's house and from your kindred, from your land, from your city, from everything that belongs there, and I'll give you a land, and I'll bless you, and you shall bless others. And Abraham left the country. He left the city. He left his father's house. Can you see? He left his brothers in the end. He left his sisters. He left his cousins. He left everybody to go to the land that God told him. And Brother Abraham taught us, he preached to us, he preached about total separation.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yes,
but alas, Abraham, when he was separating from all this, he took along Lot. He was supposed to separate from everybody.
Yes.
But he took along Lot. Can you see? That was a mistake by Abraham.
Amen.
He should not have done that.
Amen.
Because God told him not to do it. But God, in his mercy, he let Abraham do that. Was it not easy for God to caution Abraham? Abraham, what are you doing now? I told you to leave everybody. Why are you taking this guy? God let it like that. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, that's what sometimes, you know, I feel. I may be walking, and then I hit against something. And I get a wound. But God was able to make me not come through here. He knew there was this stone. He knew everything. But why did he let it like that? Yes, he knew everything. But he let it be. Amen. Is it for my disadvantage? Not at all. God knows better. Amen. So here is Abraham. He takes Lot along with him. After a few years, he has problems with Lot. The headsmen are fighting. And then Abraham comes to his senses. He says, okay, Lot, we cannot go on like this. The first thing, God wanted him to separate. And he separated halfway. So he had to do a complete job. He had to separate again with Lot. Lot was his problem. So when he separated with Lot, you all know that it was on that day that God now said, can you count the seed, the sand on the seashore? So shall your seed be. Can you see? And he says, I'm going to bless you.
Amen.
That's when the blessing now was pronounced in a greater measure. Why? Because Lot had been separated.
Yes.
But Lot was an impediment when he came in. It was, you know, a weakness in Abraham to bring along Lot. But that weakness was used by God to bring Abraham to a greater light of the promise. And then he was told, now, you can now establish the boundaries of the land I'm giving you. You should go to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, and see what I've given you. It was after Lot, he had gone away. And we all know when Lot separated, he went into Sodom, where he dwelt there. And you know what problems he got when he got into Sodom? Amen. Now, he was taken hostage by those kings who came to fight against Sodom. Because he had separated from Abraham. Now, when he was taken hostage, Abraham learned that his brother had been taken hostage. And he cannot just leave him there. He goes for him. What was he doing? He was doing here an act of deliverance. He was going to deliver his brother. And when he had delivered his brother, overcome the enemy, that's when he could meet Melchizedek. He could not meet Melchizedek on any other grounds than when he's on a mission of deliverance. Because Melchizedek is the high priest of God. And the high priest of God is one who stands for the guilty. Can you see? So Abraham had to go for the guilty Lot. So that you can see that it was the nature of God in Abraham to lead him to go to deliver Lot. Can you see? And what was Abraham doing also? In him was Levi. Can you see? And Levi had to be the priest. Levi could not be the priest without the life of a priest. And he could not have the life of a priest without Abraham exercising that while Levi is still in him. So he had to go to deliver Lot. Which Lot was his own mistake. Why did he bring him from there? It was his own mistake, Abraham. Yet through that, God used the spirit of a priest. And then, when he met Melchizedek, that's when he could offer the tithe. When he offered the tithe, Levi, who was still in him, offered a tithe to God.
Amen.
And could be accepted to be the priest of the whole nation of Israel.
Amen.
Can you see? Did it come from any good? No. It came from the mistake of Abraham of bringing Lot. And also, it came upon that also Lot, instead of going and say, you know, we cannot live together in here. Lord should have chosen the other corner of the promised land. But he did not choose in the promised land. He chose Sodom. That was his own mistake again. Can you see? But yet all those mistakes, they are there so that the Melchizedek ministry can come.
Amen.
Can you see? He is God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, then came when God had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He had to come by the way of Abraham. And he said, can I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Since he's going to inherit all the promises and he's going to instruct his household that I may bring upon him all that I promised him. He says, I'm going to destroy Sodom if the sins are as they appear to me. And then Abraham started to pray for Sodom. Amen. Why was he praying for Sodom? He was praying for Lot. Are you going to destroy even the righteous? Amen. You know, it brought to Abraham an opportunity to talk with God. Can you see? To dip into the depths of the grace of God. How God can listen to a man. How God can, you know, accommodate in his great economy what man can bring to him. The greatness of God was shown in that area. Amen. This is how God deals with us, you know. Even in our shortcomings, even in our inabilities, let's not take our inabilities and shortcomings as our signature to hell. Don't take that weakness, don't take that thing which you do not do right, as something that seals your eternal damnation. God is still God. Amen. Use that to come to God. We don't use our goodness to come to God. We use what we are. Amen. That's why, you know, when God came to Hagar, when she was running away, she was there at that place. And then God came to Hagar and said, what are you doing here, Hagar, the maid of Sarah? God gave her her true identity. You know, if somebody had found Hagar sitting there and asked, who are you? She wouldn't have told him, I'm a maid servant of a certain woman. Because she had cut the links. She had run away from Sarah. According to her, she was no longer under Sarah's dominion. She was no longer answerable to Sarah. She had no links with Sarah. But God came and said, you are Sarah's maid. Go back to your mistress. Can you see? So God does not use anything that is not you. That's why when the wise men came, they brought the three gifts. Gold, because he's God. Myrrh, because he's going to die. Can you see that? And also frankincense, because he was going to live the life acceptable before God. So God accepts you this afternoon, not on something that is not you. He accepts you as you are. Who are you? You may even look from sunset up to the time I'm standing here, or you are sitting on that chair, how many times you failed God. Don't jump that and go and pick the good that you did back there. You see, Lord, I left even all the sins in the world. I did this. I've given my life to you. I've forsaken all those things. Don't come to God on those grounds. Yes. Come to God on what and who you are now. You won't accept you because of what you did back there. You accept you on what you are now. If you need grace, you'll supply the grace. If you need to be delivered, he'll deliver you. If you need the blessing, he'll bless you. Come to him as you are. That's who he is. Amen. You know, in the book of Galatians, those who are writing, you can write chapter 1. In the book of Galatians, Paul says, God separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. When was Paul separated to God? It was while he was in his mother's womb. Amen. Yet, he lived wrong. He persecuted the church. He took the wrong decision. He aligned himself with the wrong people. Yet God had chosen him. Amen. And then what happens? Let's go to chapter 9 of the book of Acts. We go to verse 13. Chapter 13 reads, "Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name.' But the Lord said unto him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" Here is Saul of Tarsus. He has got the letters and everything and the authority to go and bind the Christians and bring them to Jerusalem bound, even unto death or imprisonment. And God meets him on the way. He says, "Go into Damascus in a particular place. I've chosen you to show the light to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel." And then God comes to Ananias and says, "Go to the street called Straight. You'll find a man called Saul. He's praying." Then Ananias reminds God, "Oh, maybe you've forgotten something. This man, he has got letters to arrest us here. He has done great harm to the saints in Jerusalem."
Yes.
But God says, "No. He is a chosen vessel. I'm sending him to do my work.
Amen.
But I will show him
yes.
the great things that he must suffer because of what he did."
Amen.
He is a chosen vessel. When was he chosen? He says, "From my mother's womb."
Amen.
Yet God, in his grace and sovereignty and great power and mercy, he let Saul of Tarsus kill the saints. He was there when Stephen was stoned.
Amen.
Why did God let it that way? Then at a later stage, he says, "I have called him as a chosen vessel." Oh, the grace and mercy of God is beyond our understanding. Amen. And then God says, "I will show him the great things that he must suffer because of what he did." Amen. Let's go and see his own account about what happened to him. We go to the book of Corinthians. Second book of Corinthians, chapter 12. We will read verse 7. Am I right? I said second book of Corinthians, eh? Second book of Corinthians, chapter 12. We read verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Can you see? Here is Paul in his infirmities. He's crying out to God. Because he is a minister of God. He is an apostle chosen by God. And he has got this something that is disturbing him. Maybe to fully utilize himself for the ministry. He comes to God. Why don't you take this thing away from me? God comes back and say, my grace is sufficient. I won't take this thing away. What does that remind Paul? Where did he see? Where was the manifestation of the grace of God in his life? When he was on the way to Damascus. That's when the grace of God was bestowed upon him. What was he going to Damascus for? To bind the saints of God. So it brings to himself to acknowledge the fact that he was against this God. When he was even armed to fight this very God, that's when God, by his grace, redeemed him. And when God comes and says, my grace is sufficient, he knows what it means to himself. Can you see that? So what is God doing? He is using the very weakness of Paul to bring Paul to the acknowledgement of the great power of God. Not because of the good we did. God never said to Paul, because Paul says, according to the law, I'm guiltless, I'm clean. Amen. That means he never lied in his life.
Yes.
He never committed adultery. He never stole. He never did anything that the law said you should not do. He never did it. God does not come to that. He comes to his weakness. When he was fighting against God, then he says, my grace is sufficient unto you. And he calls, it's a thorn in my flesh. Amen. How was it a thorn in his flesh? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For ye said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I accounted thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love, unfeigned. Now, if you go on reading, you can see here that Paul is saying, we are able ministers. We are accomplishing the purpose of God through what? Sufferings, imprisonment, wants, all these things. Why was Paul imprisoned? Why was Paul stoned? Why was Paul afflicted? Why did Paul have a thorn in his flesh? Because God said to Ananias, I will show him how great things he must suffer. So Paul is suffering here because of what he did to the saints. Yet, on the contrary, that suffering he's going through is the very thing that is cementing his ministry. He says, I'm standing bold because I'm going through all these sufferings. I'm even greater than all the other apostles in sufferings, in beatings, in imprisonment. Do you know at one time he was stoned to death? And the saints surrounded him and he rose again. He was imprisoned. He was stabbed by the Jews, even by the heathens. He was in suffering. Why? Because of what he did to the church. But that suffering is that which makes him now to stand and say, this is the truth. God, when he comes to God, can you deliver me from these things? God says, my grace is sufficient. Amen. So by his mistakes, by receiving chastisement because of what he did, which was wrong, it's even giving him, his credentials to be a minister of God. Can you see? God can never and will never work against himself. Christ says when a mother is bringing life, he says, Jesus even says, they will not escape this, it's just like labor pains. The mother will not escape labor pains. Yet, after all that turmoil of the labor pains, when she receives the baby, she forgets it all. The bond between the mother and the child is because of what the mother goes through. Can you see? It's not for her enmity. The mother will never say, of these my three children, at least this one, it was good. This one, it was fair. But this one, I nearly died. So I won't give him biscuits today. You nearly killed me, I'll give to this one. The mother doesn't do that. Amen. There is a bond between mom and the baby because of what she goes through. Amen. There is that great bond between you and God because of what God went through to bring you in. And he loves you not on the basis of your goodness, but on the basis of his love. When did he love you? When you were yet sinner. Alienated from the kingdom of God. When you were enemies with him, that's when he loved you. Amen. This is our God. Amen. So here we see that it is the things that Paul suffered that made him what he was. Until when he came to the end of his road, he says, they've all forsaken me, but God has not forsaken me.
Amen.
God stood with me in my first trial.
Amen.
And he could say to Timothy, now I'm being poured as a sacrifice.
Amen.
I fought a good fight.
Yes.
I'll obtain the crown. Not because of what he did, but because of the grace of God.
Amen.
That was bestowed upon him.
Yes.
Because of the wrong and the shortcomings that he had. He even said, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle.
Amen. Yes.
Because I persecuted the church of God. Can you see? He was there when Stephen was stoned. And it never left his mind that he caused the death of Stephen. From his own perspective, as a man of great learning, the way Stephen was speaking, the boldness that was in Stephen, Paul could look at that and say, this guy could have turned the world upside down.
Yes,
you would have brought many converts to Christ. He's not just a wishy-washy speaker. He's not a show-off man. He's a man who is speaking and who is bringing forth the word of God in its purity.
Amen.
This is going to make the world come to Christ.
Yeah.
But I'm responsible for his being cut off. I must make up for what I destroyed there.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you see? He could now go. I'm the cause of all this. So I must make up for that. Can you see? So your shortcomings are your very encouragement.
Amen.
You are not encouraged by the good you do. You are encouraged by the weakness.
Amen.
Can you see? When you can come to God in that condition and God accepts you and he allows your heart to break and the tears of your heart are manifested through your eyes as you cry out to God because of your shortcomings, because of that thing which you did which is not right, then the tears of your heart will manifest in your eyes and you get acceptance before the Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe in closing we'll just read one more scripture. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we read verse 24 up to verse 25. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul does not hear boast of his excellency in speech. His excellency obtained from his knowledge and his education. He's saying, I'm fulfilling that which is lacking in the body by my suffering. He accepted suffering because of the body of Christ. When he was going through all these perils, he could see the fulfillment of the sufferings of Christ in the church. Yet, he was suffering because of the wrong that he did. Can you see? That is God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who can take you with your mistakes, with your shortcomings, but because of the sincerity of your heart, because of the commitment that you have given yourself to God and his word, God can take your weakness to be strength.
Amen.
God can take your wrong to be your glorification.
Amen.
Can you see? It's not that we must go about doing wrong, but we must follow the leading of God.
Amen.
But when things come our way, when we do something that we are not supposed to be doing, that is not the closure of our entrance into the glories of God. But use that as the key to unlock the great door of mercy. You don't need mercy when you are right. You need mercy when you are wrong.
Amen.
So your wrong is your very key to the essence of God. Because he's a redeemer.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That's why, you know, the Bible says, rejoice always.
Amen.
Amen. I rejoice. When I make that mistake, there's an inward rejoicing that God can accept me as I cry out and repent of my wrong. What promotes me? What encourages me to come to God for repentance? It's not the whip, it is the love of God. Because I know there's a loving God. I know, you know, After I have made my mistake, God should strike me dead. But he let me and gave me the opportunity to come back to him. You know, sometimes you can go off lane for a year, for 6 months, and you even witness the funerals of other people who did wrong. Yet the grace of God keeps you. So, if you can take that and bring it to God and say, this is who I am. Amen. Amen. You know, God loves you better when you are what you are.
Amen.
You see? Because he redeemed you because you were a sinner. You cannot fool him now and pretend to be good. No. Because he never called you because you were good. He called you because you were wrong. You were in sin. You were dead. You were in your trespasses. So you come back to God the way you are. That's why, you know, the songwriter could say, just as I am without one plea. Just as I am. Amen. As much of a failure of a, I am, I come. As much of a sinner I am, I come. Just as I am. I don't have one thing that I can make to, for my, I can say or put for my defense. I have nothing. I just come as I am. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God bless you because of this grace that was bestowed upon us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
To our feet.
That was deep. That was wonderful. Amen. Let us just stop here and tell you that Jesus is calling, Brother Martin.
Oh.